Hi, no. Hello?
Hey. I don't know how great of a connection we have. I was trying to do it on my computer. I think it might be better.
I can hear you pretty good.
Okay, you can hear me? Yeah. I can.
Well, can you hear me?
I can.
Hello?
Yeah, you can't hear me, though.
No, I can hear you.
Okay.
Okay, so this is your take, you know, like I'm your host Kenny, and like I have a special guest today. Name is Jane. Like, introduce yourself.
Absolutely. So my name is Jamie Arias, and I'm a relationship coach for mothers and daughters, and I help them level up their relationships.
Okay. Okay. Nice. Nice. Well, Tim.
So you and I actually have some things in common. So when I was 8, my mom put me on Weight Watchers, and she was always telling me to stop eating and don't eat this and don't do that. And so as I got older, I had a chronic illness that caused a lot of weight gain as well. So I got to 364 pounds. And I was able to lose 134 pounds. So, but when I did that, I looked at my son, and my son had gained a bunch of weight and was being bullied. So he and I did a vegan challenge, and he was able to lose 4 pant sizes and 3 shirt sizes. And that's when I wrote my book about our experience. So, yeah.
Nice, nice, nice. Like I saw that book too as well.
Yeah, it's more of a guide for parents, I think, than anything to help their kids get their power back. Because I think, you know, like when I was growing up, when my mom didn't like my weight, she would just tell me to stop eating or don't do this or don't. Like, she never taught me good habits and good behaviors. And so I think that's part of what motivated me to write the book, because you can't just tell a kid to, like, don't eat that. As soon as you say don't eat that, they're going to want to eat it more, you know? You have to, like, teach them how their body's affected by what they eat.
Right, 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 right. You're right, you're right. You know, you're right. Like, when I was 12 years old, you know, I went to the doctor. They was like, I had to lose some weight. You know, I'll be, like, a diabetic, a high blood pressure. So, you know, like, for a week, my mama was buying. She would buy, like, 2% milk, not the whole, and all other healthy stuff. But her being a mom, she they wanted to deprive her son, you know, from buying the other stuff. So I had to commit and have the self-discipline myself not to eat it. And, you know, like, in one summer, you know, like, I lost a lot of weight.
Yeah. So, and that's powerful. So now look at what you do. You help people do the same thing. Like, I just think that if we can help parents to teach their kids how important it is to, like, actually teach them about working out and about eating healthy and doing all that stuff, I just think we won't have kids like you who are in danger of getting adult diseases as children. Like, that's frightening, right?
Right, it is. It is. You know, like, people don't stress it enough how important like health is.
Yeah, and giving our kids adult disease. Like, you can stop it with, like you did, with the way that you eat. And we just don't tell people that enough.
Right. You know, like, a lot of parents, they don't like to cook.
You know, but sometimes, you know,
they always at work, and you know, like they don't have time to cook, so they like, you know, stop by like a fast food joint, so they, you know, children have something to eat.
It, and a lot of parents argue that it's cheaper. It's cheaper than eating fresh food, and it may be cheaper in the short term, but it's certainly not cheaper in the long run, right? When you're having to take your kid to the doctor and get medicine and do all this stuff.
Right out. Still don't, you know, like invest in health now, or like invest in doctor bills later.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, I've had quite a few surgeries and probably, I want to say 5 major surgeries. It's not cheap and it's not fun and it's very hard on your body. And we're taking the time and working out. In fact, Kenneth and I have talked on Instagram, and he was asking me because he can tell that I'm like such a go-getter and I'm after helping people. What am I doing for me, right? What am I doing for my workout? And so we talked about that. So I think Kenneth has got to hold me to the fire. So I think for the next month, just because of doing the podcast, maybe we'll play a little. So he'll give me a task to do some kind of workout, something for the day, for the next month, and then we'll track my progress. How does that sound?
Like it sounds good to me. It sounds good to me, you know, like.
Share it with your listeners, the progress and what happens.
Right. You know, that's like a dope way, you know, like the, you know, like for promotion as well too.
Absolutely. But I think it's so important too, as we've been locked in with the COVID. I think that's been the hardest thing for me, because I wasn't in a place that I really had even, and I know how to work out, like not having a gym and not doing all that, but I just was in such a grind mode, first of all, but just not, I was renting a room, so I wasn't in my own space. So I think that affected it a lot for sure.
Okay. How has COVID, you know, like, how has COVID, you know, like affected you?
So it's been really good for me, luckily, as a teacher, because I've been able to be entire time. So I'm very grateful and very blessed for that part of it. And then I've gone on and gotten an advanced certification for teaching online. So for me, it's been really good, but there's been days where I haven't left my apartment for like 4 days because I didn't need to go to the market. I planned my meals and did all that and just never like got outside. So I think that part has been really hard for me. I am, when I go back to the capital, to Santo Domingo, I live in the Dominican Republic. Because people might assume I live in the U.S. So I live in the Dominican Republic, even though I'm an American. And so I'm going to get an Airbnb that's closer to the beach and has a pool so I can work out every day. So I'm excited about that.
Okay. Sounds good to me. How long have you been, you know, like in the fit?
Working with
mothers and daughters.
So I'm new as far as an online coach to mothers and daughters, but I'm not new to the mother and daughter relationship. So the reason that I went into mother-daughter relationship coaching is because I had such a bad and toxic relationship with my mom for so many years, probably 44 years. And we kind of grew up together. We're 20 years apart, almost to the day, like 2 weeks difference in 20 years. So, when all of my health stuff kind of came to a, culmination, and I had to have, some eye surgery and some other really serious surgery, I just said, you know, I every daughter wants their mom, you know, wants to just like have a hug from their mom and just be comforted by their mom. And we just didn't have that relationship. So, and I had tried everything. We had gone to therapy together. I had gone to therapy by myself. I had gone to, you know, group counseling classes. I had stopped talking to her for a while. Like I had done everything I could think of. And I realized that she was never going to change. I needed to change. And so I started doing the work on me. And what I realized is that the mother-daughter relationship affects everything in your life. Affects your... Yeah, your love relationships, how you parent, like how what kind of job you have, how much money you make, like all of it.
Okay, so I could kind of see like the correlation of why that
she's a coach,
you know, like for like mothers and daughters now.
Yeah, yeah. Because I was able to turn my relationship around that was so toxic, and you know, now we're friends and now we have a really good relationship, and yeah, and it's changed everything in my life. So I want that for other mothers and daughters as well.
Nice. We had touched on this even like a little bit, but you told me that you was a personal trainer. Like, tell me, you know, like your experience, you know, like as a personal trainer.
Yeah, so that was a very personal journey for me. So when I found out that I was going to have another major surgery in 2015, I knew that it was going to be very hard on my body. And so what I did was I left my job. I hired a personal trainer and I said, look, here's how much time we have before my surgery. I need to work really, really hard. Like I'm not here to play. I'm here to be serious and to get my body ready. And we worked really hard, and I was still in a lot of pain from the illness. And so there were days where I would work out really hard, and then the next day I was in bed because I was in so much pain. So this went on prepping for the surgery, but I was in such great shape and so flexible and so healthy that when I had the surgery, and so it was 3.5 hours of straight surgery, not prepping, not like literally under the knife, 3.5 hours, which is a lot. And so I got back to my room, and the surgeon, I said, so do you want me to walk around? And he just looked at me like I was crazy. Like, what do you mean walk around? He goes, no, you can do that tomorrow. And so my body thought that it was just having a really bad workout, and it had already started repairing itself. Like I could literally feel I had gotten my life back after having that surgery. It was amazing. And so I was so grateful for what I had done with a personal trainer. And so I said, you know, I really, for me, want to be certified. And this was in the process when I was writing my book, too. And so, yeah. So unfortunately, I didn't go into the gym and train people and do all that. But it was more of like a personal goal for me. And it just helped me become so much more aware of how the body works and how important it is, our health, like you said. that's all we have. Money, and you don't have your health, like you don't really have anything, right? You have nothing.
Right. Like you can work so hard, and you know, like how can you enjoy the stuff that you work so hard for, like when your health, you know, like is not intact? Like I don't want when I'm 50 or 60 taking 3 pills a day.
Yeah, and I was doing it at 40. At 40, I was taking pills that a 70-year-old was taking. I had high blood
pressure.
I had all kinds of stuff. And then when, a lap band to try to help me so I could get another surgery, and the lap band failed because of the endo covered the lap band. So I gained another 60 pounds. So like I said, when I went for gastric bypass surgery, I was 365 pounds. And I was desperate. I was like, because I needed to lose the weight to have another major surgery. Like my poor body has carried me very far. And and I was in a lot of pain. And here's the other thing too, is so I had the surgery, and a friend said to me, she said, you can sit on the couch and you can wait for the weight to come off, or you can actually take action. So I was living in Arizona at the time, and in Arizona it gets so hot that we walk in the malls during the morning, you know, like really early. It's just too hot to walk outside, right? Like 120 degrees. Right. So I gathered my ex-husband and my son, and we went to the mall, and I walked like 3.5 miles, 5 and 6 days a week. So when I started, when you go into the mall and you kind of walk down one of the rows, right? I could walk down half a row, and I was sweating so bad, and not because I was 365 pounds, because I was in so much pain. And I just kept going. Like I just kept walking regardless. And my family stuck by my side, and I lost 134 pounds in 8 months. And I kept the majority of it off. The biggest issue, I have so much extra skin, but that's right. More surgery. Right. And I've had so much surgery. I'm like, I don't want to do that. So, yeah.
Right. So, like, you lost all the weight just by walking?
Primarily, yeah. And then I had the gastric bypass, but I had another, the chronic, the other surgery for that kind of put, once I hit 134, I really couldn't go any lower than that because my body swells. And it still does that even after all the surgeries and stuff. So I'll like be fine. And then the next day I'll look totally different because I'm like full of water. So mostly it's in my legs now and not my entire body, but I can tell like, so I don't, you know, because most people, you're supposed to drink a lot of water. You're supposed to drink like, I don't know. You know the formula better than I do. I don't remember exactly, but I can't drink that much water because when I drink a lot of water, it doesn't come out of my system. It doesn't leave. It takes like a week or two to get it out. And so I eat a lot of fresh vegetables, fruits and vegetables that are full of water. And that's okay. Primarily how I get my water. Not the ideal situation, but you know, everybody's body's different. And I think that's something to be aware of too. And I think when you find a really good trainer, someone like Kenneth, who's been through it and understands like what actually happens when your body changes, I think that, you're in a much better place because like I said, everybody's different. Everybody reacts differently to foods and exercise, especially when, you know, when you're dealing with middle-aged women, like I am, there's hormone issues, there's past surgeries, there's chronic illness, there's blah, 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 blah. And unless you have somebody who's compassionate like Kenneth and who's been there and been through it, they're not going to understand, like, I'm not, Barbie run on the treadmill, like, for 4 hours. Like, I'll never be that, you know?
I always like to ask my clients,
Yep. Go ahead. What were you saying?
Oh, I always like to ask my clients, what level are they on?
Like intermediate
or on advanced? And I always ask them, you know, like, do they have any health problems that like I need to know about and things like that? And then
like I create a program.
Yeah, I think sometimes as women, Kenneth, to be honest, I think we try to be braver than, you know what I mean? Like, I think we don't want to sound like we're broken down. Like when, especially when we're talking to like a trainer, right? We want, yeah, let's go. Okay, let's do squats. That's all well and good, but you have to be, a trainer is someone you have to be honest with about where your body's at. You know, like for Kenneth and I to work together, he needs to know that I have this background with these surgeries and I have tendonitis and bursitis in both shoulders. So I have lots of scar tissue and lots of cracking, snapping, and I sit all day because I virtually teach. Like, these are things that you need to share with your personal trainer. It's a very, if the relationship is good, it's not Kenneth just sends you a workout and then never talks to you again. It's actually like you're having a dialogue, and if you have an issue, you're gonna, you know, reach out to Kenneth via email, direct message, and you're gonna say, hey, I did this today, but this is what happened. What do you think? And then you work together and you adjust it. It's a relationship with a trainer is, I don't know. It's more than like a friend, and it's probably a little bit more than a coach, except maybe like, you know, with relationship coaching, but somebody who's like just pumping you up and motivating you. That's not the only thing that a personal trainer does. That's my take on
exactly.
it.
Exactly. I like that.
Next question.
How are the states different from like overseas?
So one of the biggest things is obviously the Dominican is a third world country. So there's a lot of families that struggle for just the basics, you know, food, clothing, and shelter. So an example, when I rented a room, it was 10,000 pesos, which is like 170 bucks. Nothing. You know, it's just, it's very different. The language, the primary language is Spanish. And, but the lifestyle is a lot more lower than the U.S. There's not as many opportunities. I mean, I work for a company out of the U.S. I teach in the U.S. actually, but live here. But I really love it. It's the people are amazing. They're hard workers, and the beaches are incredible. And it's different in that it's slower, for sure. And then obviously the economy is different.
Okay, question. How you know, like, you know, the brands, you know, like, you know, in the States, you know, we have Nike, Jordan, like Ralph Lauren, and things of that nature. Like, what's the prices of clothing, you know, like overseas over there?
So it's a lot less. I think the majority of them are knockoffs. Like, you'll see everyone walks around with like shirts and Nike shoes and like all brand. You know, and usually it's like Adidas and Nike, those are the primary, Nike hats and all that stuff. So it's a lot less, but I think it's coming from China. So I think a lot of them are knockoffs. They're good. They're decent knockoffs. But I think because of where they're located, they're getting shipped stuff directly from China versus like getting it from the U.S.
Okay, so question then, like, how much you think, you know, cause these, you know, like for my viewers or whatnot, like how much you think, okay, a Nike sweatsuit over here, all depends on what you get it from, I caught you maybe $100, maybe $80. So over there, how much you think you're like the price range from?
Okay, so I can do 10.
Okay. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yes, yes. Like I don't know what happened.
It was me, I think. I went to get the calculator. I think I lost the connection. So the... like probably like $45 here, so a lot less.
Okay. So for a pair of joints that way, yeah. It'll
same.
Yeah, I mean, so the dollar, it's probably like about 53 pesos to the U.S. dollar. That's kind of okay. I think about where the exchange is right now. Yeah.
Okay.
That's nice. You know, like
from over here, you know, you have people who they try to, you know, sell clothing that way.
Right. No, for sure. Right. And it's a great place to vacation, especially if you have a family, because it's a lot less expensive.
Okay, you know, like I may try to, you know, try on the like Dominican like Republic, for travel 1 year.
Oh yeah, it's amazing. It would be amazing to do like even a retreat if you had clients that wanted to come work out, you know, and do like a just do a whole retreat thing. This would be it's a great location for that.
Okay. So I mean, I also just mentioned on IG about style, like, and then you hey back, you were like, you
like tell me why that you think
that you like need an escort there.
Yeah, so where I am now is at the opposite end of the island from the capital. So I'm in here. So I'm in Montanillo, and it's literally right by Haiti. So like I said, a lot of people don't have a lot here. So as an American, they just assume money. So if I were to go walking, like if I walk the city, it's like 3.5 miles. And part of it is like kind of, it's not like a highway, like, but it's
the main road.
And so I can get attacked on the main road from people just wanting to take whatever, my phone or my money or whatever. And it's the same way in the capital. It's actually a lot more dangerous, like in the barrios. They'll just, you know, take everything that I have. Like they'll just take my phone and take my money and take my passport and all that stuff. So you just, when you travel as an American, you don't, you're not on your phone when you're walking around generally. In place, and you just have to be aware, you know, like if you're in a taxi, I use Uber a lot when I'm in Santo Domingo in the capital, and I just have the window up. I don't, if I'm on my phone, like, you know, it's, yeah, but I've never had an issue. I mean, I lived in a good part of town, and I've always felt safe, so.
Okay. But you know, like everywhere else, they always have a bad part of the time. So do you ever, you know, go to that side, or you just try to like stay like on the good side of town?
I do. I actually, when I go with my boyfriend. Yeah. So I don't go on my own. I don't ever go on my own. Or I'm in a taxi or, yeah. So okay, I go, but I don't ever go alone.
Right. Because you put me on something, you know, because at this moment, like, I never been, you know, over there. So, you know, like, if I, you know, choose to go over there, I know that be on point. But, you know, like, you know, like in the States, you have to be on point anyway. Also, but, you know, like, you just put me on like something right now.
Yeah, I mean, I just think we just need to be aware of our surroundings, you know, like here. One of the clues is they'll have two guys on a motorcycle. They use a lot of motorcycles here instead of like through traffic a lot better on a motorcycle. And so there'll be two guys on a motorcycle. So if you see one and he's kind of like slowing down and kind of pacing you, you know, there's another one probably up the street waiting. So then you just cross the street, or you know, just make sure you don't have anything out, like your phone or any of that stuff. So it's just, I think it's just being aware of right. your surroundings. Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, I've never had an issue, but the family here in Wisconsin are always paranoid that, you know, because I like to walk to the beach by myself. I like to, I'm not afraid to go do all that stuff. And they're like, oh no, don't go by yourself. So yeah, it's a constant battle. I'm trying to be independent, and you know, they like to make sure that I'm okay. So,
oh, like that right there, you know, gonna lead me to my next question. And, you know, like you say that you like, you know, be independent and like to do stuff alone. So, spirituality, you know, like what comes to mind? Like, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Because you know, you trust God, you know. Like you're safe.
Yeah. So for me, spirituality is a very personal thing. It doesn't have to happen PM in a particular building. It happens all the time. Like my conversations, my prayers, that those go on all the time. And I think that we are made from source, God, what, you know, whatever you want to call, whatever that is for whoever it is, you know, Mother Earth, I don't think it matters. I think there has to be somebody or something bigger than yourself. Otherwise, what's the point of it? So I do a mindfulness practice every day. Here in the Dominican, really try to spend more time being present. Because when we're present, we're not in our head, and we're not in the past, and we're not in the future. We have no idea what's coming. We're just right here. Like, what's going on right now? What can I do right now?
Right.
Yeah, and it's a way more peaceful place to be. That I know for sure. And don't get me wrong, like there's lots of times where I'm in my head, or I'm in the past, the future, or I'm stressed out, and I just try to take some time, you know. And I'm also an artist, so I'll try to do something creative, or I'll write for a little bit, or I'll, you know, change my scenery. Like here, I'm able to walk to the beach if I don't have a class. So I can literally change my scenery. And that, you know, that's super helpful to me.
Okay.
You know, spirituality's, important.
So you said that you were on like an artist. So you actually paint?
I do. I'm a mixed media painter. I haven't done a whole lot since I've been here. I've done more on my iPad, I think, since I've been here. But I did a huge piece before I left. I did a huge, like 5-foot by 6-foot painting for a client in California. And it has like a kind of a Asian theme to it. It has koi fish. It's really cool. It has the symbols for each one of the... like air, water, earth, you know, all of that. So fire. So it's, yeah, I really like doing it. And I, it's a part of the process when I work with mothers and daughters too, the creative process, because it just opens people up. And it's been a big part of my healing. So it's kind of, yeah, it's kind of like fitness and mindfulness and like all the things that I've used that have helped me, I, you know, want to share with them.
Right. Fine, nice.
No, like
it'd be great, you know, speaking with you, you know, like, I look forward, you know, like, to getting you back, you know, on, like, the podcast. But one more thing, like, I want to ask you, like, do you have anybody that you want to give a shout-out to or, like, mention, you know, like, before we, like, wrap the podcast up?
No, I just want to say, if you're listening and you haven't started working with Kenneth, like, message him. At least have a conversation with him about where your health's at and where it can be at and where your fitness level can be at, because it's critical. Yeah, and I just am very grateful for you having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Like, I thank you too, you know, like, for, you know, like, agreeing, you know, like, to be on the podcast as well.
No, my pleasure. My pleasure. What you're doing is important work, for sure.
Thank you. Well, nice to have you on the show.
I'll be keep in touch with you.
And
please. Yeah. All right, Kenneth, thank you.